لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم را تلك آيات الكتاب والذي أنزل إليك من ربك الحق ولكن أكثر الناس لا يؤمنون الله الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها ثم استوى على العرش وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري لأجل مسمى يدبر الأمر يفصل الآيات لعلكم بلقاء ربكم توقنون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم أرنا حقيقة الأشياء كما هي آمين يا رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We begin with Surah Al-Ra'd today, inshallah. These three surahs that we're going to cover and how they address the very core of what it means to be a believer, Iman in Allah, Tawheed, as these ayats and these surah, how they address that very central issue, our relationship with Allah basically. We saw Yusuf alayhi salam in the previous surah, his iman, the level of ihsan with which he lived his life, the sabr that he was able to manifest in the face of all kinds of suffering. And then what was demanded of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum also in the face of their suffering. How do you get that kind of iman? How does it develop? How do you have that relationship with Allah that it's such a living reality? That it has a greater influence on what you do, on your choices, than any other relationship in your life? Absolutely nothing else matters as much as your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala matters. And to prefer, to give priority to this relationship with Allah does not mean to ignore and neglect every other responsibility in your life, every other relationship in your life. To the contrary, every other relationship of your life becomes honored, becomes sanctified, becomes more worthy precisely because of this relationship with Allah. It is a demonic relationship. It is a relationship with shaitan. Shaitan has that characteristic where he demands that come to me and forget everybody else. That listen to me, and then he makes promises, and as we fall for his seductions, he abandons. That is characteristic shaitan. He drives you down a path away from everybody else, and then he leaves you stranded on that path. And he says, Inni bari'um minkum, I got nothing to do with you. Inni akhafullah, I am afraid of Allah. We will even come across those ayat in these few surahs that we will study, insha'Allah. With Allah, it is different. It is much different. To give Him priority, paradoxically, means that everything else falls in place as well. So how do you develop that sort of relationship? That relationship is developed through the ayat of Allah. What are signs of Allah? What is a sign? A sign is something that reminds you of someone. A sign is something that stands for something else. what it stands for, what it ultimately stands for, what all ayat ultimately stand for is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ways of knowing Him. They are means of knowing Him. The ayat in the Quran, in the most miraculous fashion, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, transmitted across generation, the same Surah Ar-Ra'd that was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the middle of the Meccan period, down to the last dot, this is the same surah that we're studying today. Again, no other religion, no other people of scripture can lay this claim that what they have is exactly down to the last vowel what was revealed to their prophet. No one can lay that claim. Well, we have an opportunity to experience our ayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam experienced. Ayat after experiencing which him and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and generations of Muslims to follow, the way they would then experience the world outside, the way they would experience rain, the way they would experience thunder, the way they would experience just looking at the sky, it transforms. It becomes an act of worship. It becomes an act of relating with Allah. It becomes an act of remembering Him. Just looking at the trees, just hearing the birds, all of that, to dwell on that, to focus on that, to reflect on that, and to see where it's taking us. And where it's taking us is recognizing Allah. So Alif Lam Mim Ra. Again, Huruf Al-Muqatta'at, these disjointed letters, even in the alphabet of any language, there are ayat of Allah. Who knows to speak other than the human beings? The language that we have the capacity for, that no other creature of Allah does. Their tasbihat, their language, their speech is very primitive, it's very primordial, it's very basic. The level to which human speech has been developed, and what we've been able to do on the basis of that speech, is what has resulted in human beings taking more responsibility than any other creature of Allah. Allah testifies to that in Surah Ahzab, how much responsibilities human beings took. And then how our distinguishing feature, even before the angels, was the ilmul asma, the ability to give terminologies for words, for language. And how that same language that humans have such an incredible ability for, Allah chooses to articulate His kalam, His message in that language. And that's as explicit as it gets, that's as clear as it can get. Tilka ayatul kitab. These are the ayat of the book. وَالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقِّ. And what has been revealed to you from your Rabb is the truth. That the truth, the ultimate truth, Ya Rasulullah, is being revealed to you. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But most of the people do not know. Again, in retrospect, it's easier for us to see how that truth manifested itself, when it was just a claim of one person and a handful of people who believed in him. And no one could have imagined, no one could have imagined that less than 2 decades after that claim, he would be the uncrowned king of the Arabian Peninsula. It is mind-boggling even still to consider how that happened. Nothing, no political dynamic, no social dynamic, no economic dynamic that you can work out at the time of the revelation of these ayat would lead you to believe that that's what would have happened. Nobody could have predicted that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's iman and what he's being asked to believe in and what that belief does But most people do not believe. Allahu alladhi rafa'a as-samawati bighayri 'amadin tarawnaha. Allah is the one who raised the heavens without any visible support. You have doubts about this revelation coming from Allah, that this kalam being the kalam of Allah, that these ayat being the ayat of Allah. Whereas in your daily life, you look at the sky and its grandeur and its elevation. How is it just there? Allah is the one who did that. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He established Himself on the throne. And yeah, you can go into the aqidah and the different interpretations of that, but ultimately what does it all boil down to? He took control. He created and He took control of everything. Every single thing that happens, Allah is not distant from it. These are actions of Allah that we're experiencing every moment of our passing life. وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. And He subjected the sun and the moon. Who did He subject the sun and the moon to? To the human beings. That ultimately, which species of Allah gets to maximally benefit from this particular order of the sun and the moon? And when we say sun and the moon, we're talking about millions and billions of light years of galaxies. And the only one in which we understand life to be possible. And how delicate a balance, how you had to be at just the right distance from the sun. And the moon had to be just the right distance from the earth for anything to take place, really. وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. He subjected it for you. الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَ لَكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, dunya has been created for you. أَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. And you have been created for the hereafter. كُلٌّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Each running its course for a definite time. Yes, it's been subjected to you, but it has a deadline. There, it's not going to be there for an eternity. And even now, whatever astrophysics tells us, it tells us straight off the bat that each galaxy, each solar system, there's not an eternity for it to live forever. It has a point in beginning, and it has a point of ending. Where all of whatever we see is going to fall out of orbit. And then what happens is going to be utter catastrophe. And what that deadline says, what that limit on its existence, what it tells us, is that there is a sense of urgency. That there is a responsibility that is to be fulfilled, that there is something that you're created for, that you have to do before your time runs out. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرُ. Allah arranges each matter. Every single thing that goes into human existence becoming possible, Allah arranges it, plans it very meticulously. Every single detail. يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. And He spells out the signs, the ayat. لَعَلَّكُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ تُوقِنُونَ. So that you may have a firm conviction that you will ultimately meet your Rabb. That through all of this, you see His rububiyyah. And in His rububiyyah, you see a meaningfulness. And the ultimate meaning being, there is going to be meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not a meaningless creation. This is not a purposeless creation. The incredible existence of the human being with all our abilities and creativities and language and ability to understand and ability to raise monuments, really. Whatever it is that we're capable of doing is not meaningless. It's not random. It's not purposeless. To say that is the greatest offense. To understand your life to be meaningless is the greatest offense against Allah, against His creativity. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضِ. He is the one who spread out the earth. The way the language in these ayat you see is one of hospitality, one of a host, laying it out the way you would lay out a carpet, the way you would lay out a table spread at your service. هُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضِ He is the one who spread out the earth. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَأَنْهَارًا And he set thereupon mountains and flowing rivers. وَمِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ جَعَلَ فِيهَا زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ And he created all types of fruits and pears, two and two. And how that pairing of fruits allows for this self-sustenance, that this cycle continues. Again, we like to understand or explain whatever cannot be explained by God. So we would explain that which it has no understanding or no mechanics that you could understand. Well, we said, oh, that's because of God. The Quran's narrative is not that. The Quran does not say that wherever you lack an explanation, that is Allah. The Quran says, wherever you do have an explanation, that too is Allah. The mechanics that you understand, the cause and effect that you have some idea of, how the water cycle works, how plant life works, how fruits come about, all of that you understand. Good for you. But understanding it doesn't mean that's excluded Allah from the explanation. And that He only comes in where there's some miracle to be explained. Whether it's the routine experiences that you do understand to whatever degree, or it's the inexplicable, all of that is one Creator, one Allah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضَ وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَأَنْهَارًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ جَعَلَ فِيهَا زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ He covers the day with night. He makes time move. He makes the day pass into the night pass into the day. Again, a movement, an alternation that is something that human beings have a very unique perception for. Our relationship with time, our relationship with past, present, and future. What we understand of it experientially is something that gets corrupted when you go to sixth grade physics. Your sixth grade physics understanding makes time really unreal. It puts it on a line, a straight line that goes in one direction. And it's predictable, everything upon it is expected. But what you experience it in yourself, within yourself, every day, every passing moment, it is one of the greatest challenges for the human mind to get a grasp on what this is and how this is. To the point that the greatest of thinkers have said that time is an illusion. It's not real. It's another dimension of space, X, Y, Z. All of these different explanations that have been given for the Quran, for the Muslim specifically, the phenomena of time is our closest experience that we can get of Allah's involvement, Allah's intimate involvement in our lives, and how making it real, He's involved, actively involved, dynamically involved, closely involved in this movement in every second. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ And all of this is ayat. But will everybody be able to appreciate these ayat? No. لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ For people who commit themselves, for a group of people, for a community of people who commit themselves to reflect on it, to think about it, to pay attention to it. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ قِطَعٌ مُتَجَاوِرَاتٌ And on earth there are tracks side by side. There are pathways for you to go on. وَجَنَّاتٌ مِّنْ أَعْنَابٍ And gardens of vine. grapevines that you see all around, وَزَرْعٌ and crops, وَنَخِيلٌ صِنْوَانٌ وَغَيْرُ صِنْوَانٌ and date palms originating from single roots or otherwise, يُسْقَى بِمَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ. All of them are irrigated by the same water. The same water that irrigates the date palms, that irrigates the grapevines, that irrigates your crops. Yet you see the diversity in the creation of Allah. وَنُفَضِّلُ بَعْضَهَا عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الْأُكُلِ. Yet we made some of them excel over others in taste. Same soil, same water, but different taste. The spontaneity and diversity that you see in creation. Because if you want to explain creation in mechanical ways, then mechanical ways cannot explain novelty, newness, diversity. If you have a closed jar, and in that closed jar, you have four elements, let's say, then there's a finite number of ways that those elements can interact with each other. And it's predictable, and it's going to be the same over and over and over and over again. But what we have in human experience is something far different than that. That the diversity that you see, the different types of crop that come about, same soil, same water, different crop, different fruit, within the fruit, different taste. How is that taking place? How is that happening? And that is telling you about the diversity, the spontaneity, the choices that Allah is making with each fruit. How he's sending one in one direction and the other in the other direction. How he's involved in its development from scratch all the way to when it's served to you on your plates. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, there are many ayat, many signs. For who? For people of aql. Use it. For it is for you to use your aql. Again, the Quran is not a text that says, put your aql aside and then come. No, bring it. Empower it. Develop it. Nurture it. Mature it. وَإِنْ تَعْجَبْ. And if you are amazed, Ya Rasulullah, فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ. Then amazing is their comment. What is the Prophet ﷺ amazed by? He's amazed by their inability to understand the Quran. They're saying, this is not from Allah. This can't be from Allah. Allah is responding that everything that you've needed, physically you've gotten. Whatever you needed for your protection, you have. Whatever you needed for your nourishment, you have. Whatever you needed for your going from point A to point B, you have. All of that meticulously provided for you. Everything that you need to survive, not just survive, but thrive, is there for you in one form or another. But then what you need even more than all of that for physical survival, which is your own guidance through life, what to do, what not to do, how to do it, how to relate with Allah, how do we know what we're supposed to do? You think he's going to leave that unaddressed? He made arrangements for everything, down to the last dot. He's hosted you on his earth with that level of hospitality. You think he's going to neglect the most important aspect of human living? What are human beings supposed to do now? You think he's going to leave that unaddressed? So for that too, that's what this Quran is that you're rejecting. So if you're amazed, Ya Rasulullah, that they cannot accept the truth of the Quran, فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ. Amazing is their qawl, their comment when they say, أَإِذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا. What when we're dust? أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Could we then be raised to a new life? That's like them denying what's all around them. That's like them saying, oh, this is easy. This heavens, earth, fruits, plants, water, diversity, that's easy. Being raised all over again, oh, that's really hard. That's impossible. That's inconceivable. How did you conceive of one to be easy and the other to not be as such? Because you've experienced one and you can't see that happening all over again? It's supposed to be harder the first time. Anything that you do is supposed to be harder the first time. Repetition is easy. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. These are the ones who deny their Rabb. Because what is accepting the hereafter? What does accepting resurrection entail? Understanding the rububiyyah of Allah, that all of this development, me going from one stage to another, to another, to another, comes with a responsibility, and I have to relate with that Rabb. I have to be an abd to that Rabb. I have to worship Him, love Him, live like He wants me to live, understand that purpose that He has for me. Reject all of that, that's convenient. Now I don't have to worry about anything. I can live life the way I want to. وَأُولَٰئِكَ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي أَعْنَاكِهِمْ. These are the ones who will have iron collars around their necks. Why will they have iron collars around their necks? Because that's how they're behaving with the ayat of Allah. This is their arrogance. An arrogant person would be looking down at everything through the over their nose. That's the arrogance that is going to be quite literally embodied in who they're going to become, with these iron collars around their neck. وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. And these are the companions of the hellfire. These are the people of hellfire. Why is hellfire necessary? Because, well, nothing else can melt away arrogance. Again and again and again and again, to break through that arrogance that you've locked yourself in. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they live therein forever. وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ. And they urge you to bring about evil rather than good. So they were challenging Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeatedly, that where's this punishment that you're promising? Bring it on if you're truthful. Let's see what you got. Let's see how true you really are. Let's see if you're really a prophet of God. Let's see if God's got your back. Why isn't He punishing you, punishing us, for doing what we're doing to you? We've tormented your followers, we've tortured you, we've boycotted you, we've done this, we've done that. We don't see nothing. No punishment came to us. We're still the leaders of the land. We're still the most powerful people in Arabia. They're urging, they're hurrying on. They're impatiently urging you to bring about the evil and not the good, which is for them to accept, which is for them to respond. وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثُلَاتِ. While similar punishments have already been there before them. Why do they think they're invincible? When so many more stronger than them were never invincible. They all had their fall. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمِهِمْ. And your Rabb is full of forgiveness for mankind, despite their zulm. This is Allah's hilm, that He continues to tolerate. So many opportunities, so many ayat. يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا. That we just pass by. See the sky, the birds, the trees, the fruits, eat them, devour them really, and not once remember God, not once remember Allah. So many ayats of the Quran we hear and we don't really hear, that don't get translated in our lives. If Allah wanted, the first time we ignored Him, the second time we ignored Him, the 200th time we ignore Him, the 1,000th time we ignored Him, could have been the last time. Yet we're here. Yet we get another opportunity to hear more ayat of the Quran, to connect with them, to relate with Him. How much of His hilm do we continue to take advantage of? How much of His maghfirah? Just He covers it up as if it didn't happen. But He tells us He can't continue to do that for an eternity. There comes a limit where He says, enough. Now if I continue to do that, then that's unjust to those who do respond, to those who do accept, to those who are not arrogant. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. For your Rabb is stern in punishment. As much as forgiveness, maghfirah, is part of His rububiyyah, being شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ is part of His rububiyyah. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. And the disbelievers say, why is there no sign sent upon Him from His Rabb? Allah continues to tell us that these are all ayat, the Quranic ayat, the ayat in the world that you're walking around. But they want to know very specific ayat. They're saying, we're going to tell you what an ayah is. We're going to set the standard for God to fulfill. Ma'adhallah is like a hoop that we want Him to jump through. We design the hoop. We're going to say what it is, and we're going to demand for it to be fulfilled. So why no miracle? Why no miracle the way we want a miracle to be? Innama anta mundhir. Allah says, no, you're just a warner. All you can do is warn them. You're not here to reinforce their arrogance. You're not here to feed into their demands. Allah has bigger plans. Allah has, on previous occasion, with previous nations, responded with their demands, fulfilled it, given them ayat of their liking, the miracles that they wanted. They never responded. And you, of course, Rasulullah being the last and final prophet, this door is being closed. Humanity is being weaned off of this institution of prophethood. It has to be closed. And it is necessary to close it for the maturity of other dimensions and other aspects of human society. To continue to give in and to continue to let these ayat flow on human demands. And those two insolent humans who are not going to respond. Allah has something else planned for humanity. He wants human beings to become stronger than that, other than that, more righteous than that. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. And for every people, there is a guide. اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَحْمِلُ كُلُّ أُنثَى. Allah knows whatever every female carries. وَمَا تَغِيضُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ. How much the wombs fall short or exceed. How premature is the labor. How much the labor extends beyond its time. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Everything with him is precisely measured. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ. Knower of the seen and the unseen. He is the great, the highest. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Of you, it is all the same. مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ. One who speaks secretly and one who speaks aloud. Allah hears all. وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ. And the one who is hiding by night. وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. Or walking around in daylight. Allah sees everything. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتِ. He has protectors, which are understood to be angels, supervising. مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. From before him and behind him. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They guard him by Allah's command. That every single human being has protectors, has guards. And there are experiences that time and time again, all of us would have had, where we would be sure that that was such a close call. I just got saved by an inch. If that car was just here, if it was just 2 seconds earlier, if it was just 2 meters here, if it was just so many times, I don't know how I survived that. The car got totaled. How did that happen? And then an even more delicate balance that runs inside of us. And for us to realize how delicate that balance is when somebody experiences an imbalance and their life comes to an end. We come to understand how much is going on that we have no idea about. How minuscule the measures are. And so this protection from Allah for every single human being. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْجِرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْجِرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. It's absolutely incredible. One who has such meticulous control, such precise control of the smallest atom in the entire universe. But when it comes for a people to change their condition, for a people to change the way they are as a society, as a community, as an ummah. Allah says, Allah never changes a condition of people until they themselves change what is within themselves. Allah honors, Allah respects human freedom. And He would not sidestep it. He would not overstep it. He wants human beings to take control, take charge. He says, I got everything else taken care of for you. Everything else I got taken care of for you. You're living proof of how much meticulous care your survival, your life takes. All you gotta do is take control of a very minuscule fraction, and that's your own spirituality. That is what is within your control, is your choices in your society. You want good, do good. You want strength, you want to be in a better place, work hard. That sunnah of Allah is not changing. There's no cheat codes. There's no cheat codes around effort, around sacrifice. The prophets had to do it. The families of the prophets had to do it. The beloveds of Allah have had to do it. No one gets a get out of jail free card. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Even that change which comes for you after your effort is Allah bringing about that change. But He says the ball is in your court. You gotta play the shot. Whether it lands or does not land, Allah will take care of it. You gotta play the shot. But if you don't play the shot, you're definitely gonna miss. So of all His power, do not let His power waylay you or misguide you into thinking that you have no responsibility. Because what that does is that makes your life meaningless, which again Allah takes very personally. How dare you say that your creation is meaningless? That I'm not gonna, not even if you're doing that exalting my power. Not if you're doing that exalting my knowledge and wisdom. No. I did not create this abath. I did not create this batil. This is haqq. And so you gotta do your part. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ. When Allah decides to inflict people with a catastrophe, with an ill, with evil, no one can turn it back. وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَال. And nobody, no one can they have as a protector other than Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. There's comments or questions, please. Please. So it goes across the board. It goes across the board. Spirituality, religiosity, economic condition, social condition, political condition. Across the board, human beings have to take charge of whatever is in their domain of responsibility. We cannot say, as we have been saying, that we take care of the spirituality and we will not have to take care of anything else. As far as what we see from the Quran and what we see from the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, that is not the case. Allah does not say that spirituality is my domain and the political domain or the social domain or the economic domain belongs to some other god. Those are sunan of Allah in those domains as well. And those sunan have to be understood and complied with and acknowledged and worked in accordance with. And this is something we're going to see in Surah Bani Israel very explicitly. That whoever makes a dua, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. That insan makes dua of shar, asking for khair. He thinks it's khair for him, but what he's asking for is shar for him. Nevertheless, when it comes to making an effort, it is clear the one who sa'alaha sa'yaha, who makes the effort for it the way it deserves for the effort to be made. Allah says that's the one, that's the person we're going to reward. That's the one who's going to get the fruits of their action. So it is across the board. Yes. Su'an. So if it's a punishment, evil, so shar exists. And the attribution of that is not to, it is the absence of khair, yes. But there are, so the one who experience the ultimate catastrophe, Allah's final punishment, that's destruction, and then they go in the hellfire. That would be for them, in their context, evil. Although from within that context, that individually for that particular person who's condemned, is evil, there is khair for the rest of humanity for the in the grander scheme of things. Right? بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In Allah's hands is khair, of course. But it has to be for grander, we have to take the grander perspective in mind. For specific individual person who's condemned, who's damned, whose heart is sealed, and who's now going to face the punishment of Allah for an eternity, now that's a done deal. Does that make sense? Yes.
Emphasize that Allah has given us, has given us all the, and you also mentioned that we have been meaningful in our life. What do you mean by that? What's the difference?
So there is the old, there is the meaning that we share, being the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are obligations and responsibilities that we incur, that we take on as a result of that. Right? And that's the pillars of Islam, the Amr bil Ma'ruf, the Nahi anil Munkar, those responsibilities that we have, the hudud that Allah has asked us to maintain. And then within our individual lives, within our context, societies, wherever we are, what will that Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar look like? What is it that I can do that will improve the human condition, that will improve the condition of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Something that I'm gifted with, something that I have the resources for, something that I have the opportunities for, or the opportunities to create opportunities for. Right? So there is that which we share, and then there is that which is unique. To take responsibility for that. I have been created by Allah. There is definitely a meaning, a purpose in my creation. It is unique, as well as communal. And I have to realize that, understand what that is, and put in my effort in that direction as best as I can.
I'm trying to understand what does that mean, by the way, when you say tribe and nation, Islam says one nation, and creating it to different tribes, how I can better than one nation? So, I don't know if it's out of context, but...
No. So, there is diversity across Allah's creation, right? And that includes the human beings. There is diversity in language. There is diversity in appearance. There is diversity in abilities. So people from certain tribes, cultures will have some abilities that others don't. Right? So there will be perhaps in the context of, we see the Arabs, they're very practical people. They're very hands-on people. And so for them to be the primary recipients of the Qur'an, it means they heard, they understood, they enacted. The gap between hearing, understanding, and enactment wasn't as much as when you see the other nations and tribes. Persians, for example, They are more a people of intellection and reflection and thinking. And so the Prophet ﷺ points to Salman al-Farsi and say that even if ilm is on Sirius, a star, a person from his nation is going to go get it. So they're more erudite in terms of not just practical application, but before practical application, intellectual development, even spiritual developments for that matter. Languages too. There's a saying in Arabic that تُعْرِفُ الْأَشْيَاءِ بِأَصْدَادِهَا, that things are known by their opposites. So much is recognized in contrast, that we understand things in contrast. So for you to know each other, I know me better. If I know a person of another race, of another nationality, of another tribe, of another background. There's so much about myself that I would not be aware of. Goethe said, he who knows one language knows none. Because when you know two languages, then you're able to appreciate the nuances in both languages and different languages better. And also commonalities would become more clear in how we understand them. So that diversity, to enhance human understanding of themselves, is at least one dimension of it. There is a whole lot more to it. What is to be condemned, what is to be curtailed in that understanding, is that you do not make that a sense of privilege, or Allah has favored, or Allah loves one more than the other, period. And the other doesn't have chance, that one is lesser human and one is greater human because one is whiter. So there is no room for racism there, or a superior race. That door is being closed off. Identity, understanding, relating, that relationship takes place across differences. You can't relate without differences. Differences have to be there for relationships to be taking place. I hope that makes sense. For sure. And how a Norwegian will then practice Islam, he will bring that commonality with the Ummah, but then there will be a new flavor as well, a new beauty that you will see expressing from a Norwegian's Islam for that matter. And we see that. We see that more here, which is a multicultural context. The diversity that we see in understanding fiqh, for that matter, understanding spirituality, for that matter, it helps us understand and learn from each other as well. I may bring some detrimental aspects of where I come from. There are some bad habits of my culture. For example, we tend to be very lazy, right? We have this, For sure. And let's see. So it makes us a particular way. But I have to be cognizant of that. It can get in the way. The more I appreciate it, the more I can overcome it, the more I can learn from other cultures where they're perhaps better in certain areas. There is, for example, there is a mindset of scarcity that South Asians are particularly prone to. And that has a historical context as well. 30 million or more people died in famines orchestrated by the British. Now, transgenerationally, we grow up with this fear of poverty. Where are we going to eat from? You have to become a doctor or an engineer, otherwise you're going to die of hunger. There's very limited resources. You have to compete with everyone else in order to grasp those resources, in order to make sure you succeed. You have to climb this ladder And if you have to climb this ladder, you have to push other people off this ladder. This has a history. And that history has, it's a traumatic history. And it's something that we need to be wary of and understand better. People who don't have that background, for them it'll be easier to say, Tawakkal Allah. It's okay, there are multiple professions. You will not die. You're not a lesser human being if you're not a doctor or an engineer. We have a colonial history that has that we need to be wary of. Please.
I don't know how colonial is, I mean, of course, the man-made, the man-made, no one can do anything. But just wanted to bring this opposite part also, where Allah in that ayah didn't say, also created opposite, you know, man, male, female, and all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am bad and he's good. I can at least contrast. Hey, I am bad in reference to him, but in reference to what Allah guides, that's a different story. So, I'm just trying to tribe and nation. These are the two different rules, not opposite.
So, different tribes, different nations, there will be commonalities and there will be differences. I wouldn't say opposites necessarily, but commonalities and differences. So there will be those that will help us understand each other better, understand ourselves better, and relate with each other from that context. For example, the Quran says that from the Bedouins, the Quran creates a distinction now. They are the city dwellers, they are those in Medina, they are those in Mecca. But then there are those who are Bedouins. More harsh, more strict, more blunt, more offensive, more likely to apostate. And that's what led to the apostasy wars as well. That it was those nations, Allah identifies in Surah At-Tawbah that you need to recognize this limitation, that you need to recognize this fault, and you need to send people over to benefit from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and learn from him, and then go back to your people. So that difference too is a difference to be acknowledged and overcome and transcended. Something that the people around Rasulullah, they didn't have that challenge as such. Again, the difference between people of Mecca and people of Medina. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, Ya Rasulullah, ever since we've come here, our wives talk back to us. They never used to do that in Mecca. But they've gotten along and they've gone around these women of Medina and they're more blunt. And you need to do something to, you know, curtail this. But that's a difference. That is a difference that is now coming to the fore which wasn't there before. And you would see, again, similar South Asian women versus Arab women. The culture, there is a clear difference. You would find that Arab women are more likely to be teachers of religion in the United States. Take stage, talk about it. South Asians, not so much. Would not do that. We have a history of muhaddithat, as Dr. Akram Nadwi has shown, 11,000 or more teachers of a hadith, women, 11,000 throughout our history. And he says there's so many more I wasn't able to, I had to finish it, otherwise it would have kept going. Women who taught in the haram, taught men. Imagine in this masjid if a woman is sitting in front of me instead of me. Again, something that's culturally very alien to us, although it's part of the same tradition. Part of the same tradition, it has its own justifications. There's that diversity. So much to learn from there. Anyways, I think we're extending into Isha. Subhanakal. Please.
A little thing. Yeah, I often heard about my guardian.
That's, again, in these particular ayat, it is generally for humanity.
Every human being.
That, and the angels have two functions, as we understand from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. One function is protection. The other function is documentation. Scribes of whatever it is that we're doing, to keep a record of our actions. So
then this you're talking about on our shoulders.
So there's those, and then there's the protectors, protectors front and back, and the scribes right and left.
So regardless of whether you have iman or not, Allah has given the human being protection.
Angels are, there's a lot of convert stories that you will hear, who talk about how they had some sort of experience like that, after which their search for the divine, their search for Allah began, and they found Islam. Right? So that's, again, their own religious experiences. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give us some sweet.